Amen. John chapter 9, again, continuing our thought of giving God glory in the middle of a storm, and even when we don't know what's going on or we don't understand what God's doing, we do our best to give God glory. One thought of prayer before we get into this, I almost forgot. The Lucases are in California, and this was the week that they were going to meet with the doctors in California, and they wanted to discuss some things with them, and their prayer was that they get to share Jesus with somebody while they was there. So let's remember them as they're traveling. But John chapter number 9, I also got just a little bit of political news for you tonight. He's not winning the popular vote, but King Jesus is still on the throne. And there's not a lot of people that are choosing Jesus right now or looking for him, but he's still in control. Joe, I thought you would enjoy that political news tonight. John chapter number 9, verse number 1. And Jesus passed by. Some of my favorite scripture right here. We're going to get to a verse of scripture in just a little bit. That's one of them that punches me in the gut every time I read it. Man, I may get some tore up. We just jump to it here in a minute. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, ain't that amazing that the disciples that were walking with Jesus, when they seen somebody that was blind, they seen somebody that maybe was having a trial, trouble, a burden, whatever you want to call it, that the first thing they did was say, Jesus, who sinned? Why is this man blind? Somebody obviously did something wrong, and that's the reason that this man is blind. And so many times we look at people and we look at their situations and we begin to try to figure out why this thing is happening, or even in our own lives, when troubles, trials, burdens come our way, we begin to try to figure out what's going on. I want to tell you tonight that when sin is in your life, and God, I do believe that sometimes God puts things in our life to get our attention. I believe that 100%, that if I try to walk away from God tonight, I know without a doubt that I belong to Christ Jesus, and the Bible tells me that if I walk away from him, that he will whip me because I'm one of his children. But in the middle of that, I don't think that I'll be guessing whether or not God is whipping me. I think I will know without a doubt that God has given me a whipping. Because, you know, every time that I was growing up and my dad gave me a whipping, I always knew why I was getting my whipping. I didn't have to guess. I didn't have to wonder. I knew why I was getting my whipping. And I believe the same thing with our relationship with God. But here the disciple says, hey, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Look at Jesus. He says, and Jesus answered and said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Man, ain't that our prayer, is that we just want God to use us and we want others to see Jesus in us. And sometimes, you know, again, I know we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, we want others to see Jesus in us by his greatness, by his goodness, by his good fortune to us, by things being wonderful in our lives. That's the way we want people to see God's goodness and that God is manifest in our life. But sometimes God uses strange circumstances, God uses things in our life that we may not even enjoy or like in order for him to manifest himself in us. I remember one night, I'm going to share this with you. I try not to tell too many personal stories about this, but I can remember one night when I went to visit with Alyssa, and I went up to see Michael and Laura one night, and they had a bad day, had a really, really bad day. And their daughter, Charity, she's really special. She's super, she's just in touch with God. For a young lady, it's awesome how in touch with God she is. And I remember Michael saying, you know what, Josh, he said, I started to get down just a little bit today. And he said that Charity looked at me and said, Dad, don't worry about it. See, God's got to get this thing to where it's impossible so that he gets all the glory. And it's amazing that, you know, sometimes our kids have to punch us like that and let us know it's going to be okay. But sometimes God uses some bad circumstances and some things that look impossible in our lives in order to get glory in our lives, in order for him to get glory. Verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Can I say for just a minute that Christ Jesus is still in the world? No, he's not flesh walking around, but each and every one of us, we should have brought Christ with us tonight in the form of his Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. So now that he is not fleshly in the world anymore, that means you and I are the light of the world. That means that God has to use us to manifest himself so that the world can see the love that he has for them and what he has done for them. Verse number 6, he says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by the interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Ain't it amazing how that when God changes somebody, that even the people that's been around them all their life may not even recognize who they are? I mean, God changes people that much. And that's the reason that I believe that when, I believe that the Bible even supports this with some scripture that's in the Bible. I believe that when people come to know Jesus Christ and they meet him as their personal Savior and he forgives them of their sin and he moves on the inside of them, that others should be able to see that there's something different about you. Others should be able to see that you're not the same old person that you was. Yeah, you may not be walking around carrying a Bible, shouting hallelujah all the time. If you want to do that, I think that's okay too. I'll give you a little story that a friend told me one time. True story, the way that he told me, but he said that he was somewhere one night and said a little girl come up and asked the preacher, he says, Preacher, you've been talking all night about this God and how if I accept Jesus Christ, that he moves on the inside of my heart. And the preacher said, yeah, that's exactly right. She said, well, God's big enough that he holds the whole world in his hands, correct? And the preacher said, yeah. And God's big enough that he knows everything and he's everywhere at all time. So God's really big, right? The preacher said, yeah, that's right. Said, well, if a great big God like that moves on the inside of little bitty old me, won't he stick out? Amen. He'll stick out. You other people ought to be able to see that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. And here, Christ made such a difference in this man. They had known this man since he was born. The Bible says that he was born blind, and they had known him. It says his neighbors, the people that had been around him all his life, are saying, is not this the man that was blind? They were even second-guessing themselves that this was the same person. Verse number 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. You know, some of you have been changed so much since the day that you met Jesus Christ that some of the people that you used to run around with look and they say, that looks like that person. I'll use Alan since he's sitting back there. That looks like Alan. That sounds like Alan. But that ain't the Alan that I knew. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Christ Jesus will change our lives like that. Verse number 10, therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes open? How did it happen? Now look, I'm glad that he didn't go around the bush here, but he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. See, sometimes people can see the difference in our lives and they come to us and they say, hey, why are you different? What's different about you? Or, you know, they may come fishing without just exactly asking you what's different about you, but they want us to know what's going on and are you for real and all those kinds of things. And as they come around, don't beat around the bush. Don't say, I found religion. Don't say, I joined a church. Don't say, I got baptized. Let them know exactly what made the difference in you, because this young man, they said, what's different about you? He says, this man named Jesus told me to go wash, and I went and washed, and now I can see. I want to tell you something. When people want to know what's different about us tonight, the only thing that deserves any glory, the only person that deserves any glory in that is Jesus Christ, because without him, I'm capable of doing anything, but I'm so thankful tonight that he loved me so much, that he gave his only son for me, that he gave his life for me. He shed his blood for me in order for me to be able to be different. This is not what I'm preaching tonight. I'm going to go on in a minute. Verse number 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others say, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. Well, see, they had the facts all wrong right there. See, they're trying to figure this thing out, and they say, well, this man, he sinned because he didn't keep a Sabbath. Well, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ lived his whole life and never sinned the first time. He was the sinless sacrifice for you and I. So they got it all wrong from the get-go. They're trying to figure him out. Verse number 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Let's get a witness. We got to get a witness to make sure this is the same one. Well, I want to tell you something. After you've been saved for a little while, there should be some other people that can be a witness for what Jesus Christ has done in your life. They ought to be enough difference in you that the people that are you're around all the time, the people that you work with, they ought to be able to be a witness of, yeah, maybe I don't know exactly what happened and I can't explain it, but yeah, he's definitely different, or yeah, she's definitely different. And it shouldn't be too long until they're going, I can't explain how it happened, but this is what he says happened. This is what she says happened. They met Jesus and Jesus changed her life. Verse number 19, and they ask him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. I tell you what, it seems like today we even have a fear of when pronouncing the name of Jesus Christ, when letting others, people know who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us, we're afraid of what everybody else is going to think, what everybody else is going to do. Man, God can't get much glory out of our lives. Hey, I know sometimes at work you might not have the freedom that I take from my work. And I get to talk to people about God all the time. I get to talk to them, not saying that I do it every time that I should. I'm just saying that my boss man, me, is a pretty good guy, and I talk about Christ when I want to. Now, it might be a day that I get a letter from somewhere else that says I can't and I need to shut my mouth, but for now, I'll use that while I can. But when sometimes we're so afraid of what the consequence is, we're so afraid of the outcome of the situation that we zip our lips and we don't let others know what Christ has done for us, that we don't give him the glory that he deserves with our life, that we don't let others know what a difference that he can make in their life. Verse number 23. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man which was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. See, once again, these people, they're all confused. They're not getting it. And it kind of reminds me of the society that we live in now. They want to recognize that there's a higher power. They want to recognize a God, a man upstairs. You know what? And if you got a habit of saying the man upstairs, don't take offense to this. But I want to tell you something. I'm not serving or worshiping a man upstairs. I'm serving and worshiping a God that loves me so much that he moved on the inside of me. He says that I'm his temple and he is right here. He is a holy and a righteous God. He's not just a man upstairs. He is God that loves me so much that he said, I'm going to hold you every day in my hands. I'm going to walk with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's not a man upstairs. He is my Savior. He says, he answered them, I've told you, I backed up again. Verse number 24, then they called the man which was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I once was blind, now I see. Man, that's that verse right there that when I hear it, I could run a circle every time I hear it. This young guy, he looks at him, he says, look, I can't explain to you what happened. I don't know what happened. I can't tell you about this man Jesus that much. Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But here's the thing that I can tell you. Whether he was a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I do know, that where I was once blind, that now I see. See, you know what? Sometimes in our life, we can't understand the circumstance that we're in. We can't understand the burden that we may carry. We may not understand the trial that we're maybe walking through. And I may not know what God's doing. I may not understand. But one thing I do know is that he has never left me in a trial yet. That he has never not come through for me yet. He has never left me, never forsaken me. He's always been there no matter what I'm going through. And I want you to know something else, that he's promised me that everything that I go through is going to work together for my good. And I have no reason to doubt him because he has never failed me one time. This young man, he says, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know is that whereas I was once blind, now I see. Whereas once I was lost and I was on my way to hell, I stood guilty of sin in my life. I had things in my life that if I gave an account for, that I was going to die and go to a devil's hell. But I'm so thankful that one night at the age of 7 that Jesus Christ spoke my name, that His Holy Spirit began to draw me and to woo me and to love me. Whether he be a sinner or not, as this young man said, I don't know. And why God loved me, I don't know. Why God chose me, I don't know. Why He called me, why He spoke to me, why He wooed me, I can't tell you, because I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. But one thing I do know, that when I got down on my knees and I asked Him to forgive me of my sins, that He washed my sins away, that He made me one of His children. I'm now an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and one day I'll stand in His presence and I will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and I'll get to enter in and be with Him for eternity. I can't explain to you why I go through the things that I do or why you go through the things that you go through. But one thing I can tell you is that Christ loved you so much that He's holding you, that He's with you, and He'll go with you no matter what through everything that you're going through. Amen. I want you to know tonight that this young man, he said, "I can't explain it." And whatever you're going through, you can't explain it. You don't know why. You don't know why you're walking where you're walking, whether it be in a good place or a bad place. I want to tell you what. One thing I do know is I'm not worthy of anything that God's done for me. I don't deserve anything that God's done for me. I would like to stand here and tell you tonight that since the day that I got saved, and well, let's even go through since the day that I began to mature. I'm not saying I'm a mature Christian, but I'm a step or two ahead of where I started anyway. But since the day that I matured as a Christian and I knew to watch out for Satan, I knew to watch out for sin, I knew to watch out for the snares that would be in front of me, I knew to watch out for temptation. Since that day, I would like to be able to stand here and tell you that I have always chosen to follow God, that I've always chosen to go the way that I know that I've always looked for that way of escape, but I haven't. Since the day that I've been saved, or since the day that Jesus Christ forgiven me of my sins, I would like to say that I have walked with Him hand in hand and followed Him, but I haven't. And you know what? That's the reason I can't understand why He chose to love me the way that He loves me. I can't understand why He chose to say, "You know what? I'm going to go with you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to give you endless mercy and grace and love and peace and joy. And I'm going to give, even though you're not going to do the things that you even know to do, and you're going to continue to do things that you know you're not supposed to do, I'm still going to love you." I can't explain to you. This young man said, "I can't explain to you how I received my sight. Only thing I know is once I was blind and now I see. I can't explain to you why God loved me, why God chose me, why God allowed me to be one of His children. But one thing I know is that I belong to Him." Whatever you're going through, whether it be good, whether it be bad. See, this young man, if you would look at him, you might have said, "Man, he really had a lot of troubles, a lot of burdens. He was born without being able to see." You might have looked and said, "Man, that was really pitiful that young man had to go through that." But can you imagine going from that to one day your eyes opening and there it all was? And look at the glory. I mean, he's right here in John chapter number 9. He is in the holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Yeah, it cost him a few years of not being able to see, but look how God's getting glory out of his life. Look at how we feel the presence of God tonight by reading his story. I felt the presence of God just by reading this sentence, this verse of whether he be a sinner or not. It says, he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I once was blind, now I see." Man, I'm telling you, when I read, I believe I could jump from right here and I'd be, I don't know, I might float. I don't really know. But I'm telling you, by reading that, yeah, he might have, it was bad. It was pitiful. It was, and that's the way we see it. But the whole time, God's going, "I got a plan. I got this. And I'm fixing to use you for my glory." Sometimes when we're in the middle of something, somebody mentioned to me just the other night about me and my beagle. I told y'all about my beagle that I threw the pity party with that time, and I gave him a lick of my popsicle, and I took a lick of my popsicle. Me and old Sam, we had a pity party there that day. He really enjoyed the pity party. I was having a pity party. And you know, as we go through life, sometimes we're getting bad circumstances. We do have trouble. We do have trials. And man, as I look around the congregation tonight, I can see some of y'all, and y'all have been through some things that I have never experienced. I pray to God I never do experience. I don't want to be in your shoes. I commend you, and I thank God that you're still working and serving and worshiping God after what you've been through. But you know, sometimes we look and we say, well, it's been so bad. But man, sometimes God puts us in those places, not for punishment, not for anything, but just because he's going to get glory out of our lives. Amen. Sometimes instead of praying that God deliver us from whatever we're going through, or that God help us or whatever, sometimes maybe we could just stop. And again, I'm not saying this is one of those super spiritual statements that you got to kind of get in your mindset before you get there, but maybe we could just say, God, I don't know why I am where I am, but I pray that you get glory for it. I'm sure that when Zach was in the hospital for the time that he was in the hospital, I'm sure that there was probably days that he was at peace, and I'm sure there's probably days that he thought, man, this is not right, and this ain't fair. I don't understand what's going on. I'm sure his mom and dad at some point in time was going, I don't know why he's going through this. But look at the glory that God can get out of his life now. Amen. It ain't been too long ago that they told his story. And again, just knowing what God can do and what God is able to do. See, again, we look at this Bible and we look at, well, that happened in John chapter number 9. That's good that God done that in John chapter 9. But God is still doing miracles today. I mean, I know I wasn't blind and now I see, but I went from almost being ready to throw up sick to being able to come out here and preach and have a good time with y'all. And it's amazing that, you know, our God is still doing miracles today. I'm going to read just a few more verses and we'll be done right here. He answered them, verse number 26. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already that, and you did not hear. I think he's pretty much saying, I might be blind, guys, but y'all are deaf. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Look how he's turning, he's giving God glory. He says, why won't you hear what I got to say, and why won't you follow God? Or why won't you follow him? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fella, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto him, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him will he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Man, I'm telling you what, even if God does something amazing in your life and you're giving God glory, not everybody's going to want to hear it. Not everybody's going to. You would think that when you look at people and you say, look what God did. That's just like if I told that story about my headache to people that I work with, they would look at me like I'm crazy. People that I work around, the guys that I work with, they're believers. They would believe it. But the people that I work around, they would look at me and say, you're one of them, ain't you? You one of them. What'd y'all do? Did y'all do some little snake handling thing back there in that office, or what'd you do? No, it's not any of that. God just loves us that much. When God does something amazing in your life and you're able to give God glory, when people don't just jump up and go, amen, glory to God, don't let that stop you. Because there's going to be one somewhere along the way that is going to make a difference in their life. Let's give him glory. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I'm nothing without you. God, I'm not worthy to stand up here and preach. I'm not worthy to proclaim your word, but God, I want to thank you, and I want to praise you for the opportunity. I want to praise you for your word that you've given us that is perfect, God. And God, I pray that you'll help us as we go through things, and God, sometimes we don't understand what's going on or why it's happening, that God, we may always give you glory. We may point others to the cross of Christ. God, I pray that you'll help us as we go in day out into our lives, God, We know that you open doors around us, and help us to see those doors, and help us, God, that we may do everything that we can do, God, to be what you'd have us to be. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.